From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, August 25th. I'm Abby Larico. Today, the completion of big changes for Metrolink, a new penalty for passing this school year, and older adults on fixed incomes are struggling to foot the bill at the grocery checkout.
Food prices are extremely high, and I have to really weigh out what's more important or how I can get the most out of a meal.
A look at how seniors are making changes as they deal with high food costs. That's all coming up on The Gateway. A Metro East lawmaker is asking for answers about what's going on behind closed doors at a Granite City hospital. STLPR's Sarah Fenton reports Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski published a letter this week addressed to owners and operators of Gateway Regional Medical Center.
The letter recounts many of the alleged shortcomings at the hospital. Earlier this summer, it reportedly was late in paying more than 600 employees, and reportedly at least one other employee had difficulty accessing her medical benefits. The Congresswoman also outlined reports of delinquent property taxes, unpaid utilities, and other financial issues she says jeopardized patients' health.
So I think demanding answers, transparency, accountability for what happened, this letter is the first step.
Budzinski's asking the leaders of Gateway Regional and its for-profit parent company, American Healthcare Systems, how they plan to stabilize the hospital's financial situation. American Healthcare Systems also managed the now-shuttered South City Hospital in St. Louis for less than a year before it closed. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The leaders of American Healthcare Systems say the hospital's financial problems predate the company's acquisition of the campus. They say they've invited Budzinski to visit the hospital for more talks. St. Louisans affected by the May 16th tornado will now have to start paying their water bills or risk getting their water shut off. Mayor Kara Spencer says the city lifted a moratorium on water shutoffs yesterday that it had extended for tornado victims.
We'll start to address those delinquent bills, but we're also simultaneously announcing a program designed to help those households who may need additional support.
Details on that program: the city will forgive all unpaid bills for residents whose homes are uninhabitable, and residents can enroll to get their water rates cut in half for the next 2 years, as well as lower rates for unpaid bills since May of 2025. More than 4,000 homes affected by the tornado last year have unpaid bills. People can enroll through the STL Recovers Outreach Center in person or online, or by calling the Water Division. More than 2,000 people in Missouri have now tested positive for cyclosporiasis. That's the diarrheal illness caused by a microscopic parasite. The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services reports 2,152 confirmed cases. That's up from 1,950 last week. It's the smallest weekly increase this month, suggesting that the outbreak may be slowing down. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says contaminated lettuce from Taylor Farms in Mexico made people sick in at least 17 states, including Missouri and Illinois. Health officials say case numbers, though, could continue to rise as symptoms can take 2 weeks or more to appear. Metrolink says it has completed $62 million worth of upgrades to platform security and fare collection. As STLPR's Will Bauer reports, bi-state development leaders believe the changes will make the region's light rail system safer and improve public perception.
All 38 Metrolink platforms now have turnstiles and technology that requires riders to scan a ticket. The Bi-State Development Agency operates the light rail system. President and CEO Telby Roach says transit officials from cities like Seattle, Dallas, and Charlotte have all recently looked at this new system.
We are the very first system in the United States to move from an open concept to a closed concept system, to inject safety and security in every single thing that we do.
So far, crime incidents at the first stations with the new secure platforms have dropped 50%, but bi-state officials say those numbers are preliminary, and more time is needed to see how effective they are. In East St. Louis, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new Missouri law that goes into effect this week sets harsher penalties for illegally passing school buses. Starting Thursday, any driver convicted of failing to stop for a school bus with its stop arm out and red lights flashing will have 5 points added to their license. Those convicted of their first offense will have their license suspended for 90 days or length determined in court, as well as a fine of $500 to $1,000. That fine could go up to $3,000 per offense for those with three or more violations within 5 years. As a reminder, drivers in both directions on a two-lane road must stop for a bus with its stop arm out. On a four-lane road or highway with a median, only drivers following behind the bus in the same direction need to stop. The same week that St. Louis Public Schools families are expected to hear the final proposal for school closures, students are back in class. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed stopped by what could be the last first day at one school.
Good morning.
There were some tears, cheers, and lots of hugs at Shenandoah Elementary School in the Tower Grove East neighborhood on the first day of school. The district is looking to potentially close the building next year. The school's current enrollment is about 160 students, but has the capacity for 204 students. Andrew Wheel lives across the street from the school and formerly worked for the Landmarks Association of St. Louis.
Be a good neighbor and take responsibility for these properties. And I'm not saying they're not going to, but I'm concerned that they are not going to be good stewards of these buildings once they've closed them.
The district is expected to bring its recommendations for closures to the school board Tuesday night. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Hiba has been following all the developments in the school closures plan. You can check out the details at stlpr.org. A trip to the grocery store has gotten a lot more expensive in recent years. Ground beef, tomatoes, coffee, they've all seen big spikes. And those higher prices can be especially hard on older adults on fixed incomes. The Midwest Newsroom and Harvest Public Media contributor Nicole Grundmeier spoke with seniors about the tough choices they're often forced to make.
Once a month, the people who live at this low-income retirement community in Storm Lake, Iowa, gather to create their own food pantry. The donations come from the Food Bank of Iowa.
How many are the peppers?
Today, fresh pineapples, potatoes, and bell peppers pile up on tables. The residents can go through and take the items they need. Linda Rufus, who is 67, relies on this pop-up pantry.
Well, I'm thinking about how I'm going to rob Peter to pay Paul because food prices are extremely high, and I have to really weigh out what's more important or how I can get the most out of a meal.
Rufus says she's stretching every dollar and trying to find cheaper, filling food items. While she loves beef, she's now buying ground turkey. Her neighbor, Tony Keller, is also shopping at the pop-up pantry today. The 65-year-old spent years outside the workforce as a caregiver, which reduced her retirement benefits.
I get a whopping $304 a month because I had a sick child, so most of my time was spent with her.
That Social Security payment isn't nearly enough to cover Keller's living expenses, including food. She relies on SNAP federal food assistance and programs like this pop-up pantry. She recently completed treatment for breast cancer and tries to prioritize eating fresh fruits and vegetables.
After having cancer, you're eating a little differently, which costs more money to do.
High food prices are pushing older adults to make difficult budget decisions affecting their health. Nationwide, food prices were 3% higher this June compared to the same time last year, according to federal data. Jessica Johnson is a senior strategist at the National Council on Aging.
So much of the conversation around SNAP and food insecurity really has been around children and families, and older adults really are often a forgotten population.
More than 7 million Americans aged 16 up experienced food insecurity in 2023, according to the National Council on Aging. That's approximately 1 in 11 older Americans. Gina Platanino is the director of policy and advocacy at the Food Research and Action Center. She says Social Security benefits don't protect older adults from hunger.
Your rent didn't decrease because you turned 60. Your utilities didn't decrease because you turned 60. Neither did fuel and neither did food.
Nearly half of older adults who carry credit card debt are using their cards to buy food, according to the AARP. In the Kansas City region, Metro Lutheran Ministry operates three food pantries. Community Assistance Manager Kimberly Bernard says they're seeing consistently high demand from older residents.
We see a lot of people that are in that population of seniors that they really rely heavily on the food pantries because it's a challenge for them to be able to budget the amount that they receive monthly.
Back in Iowa, Linda Rufus says she and her fellow residents at the Storm Lake Senior Housing are grateful for the pop-up pantry.
Because if it were not for the food banks, you know, supplying us with food, you know, we would be in a lot worse condition than we are.
But for now, experts say seniors on fixed incomes will likely continue to feel the squeeze of high food costs. For the Midwest Newsroom and Harvest Public Media, I'm Nicole Grunmeier.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and public radio stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and is a member of the Trust Project. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Our theme music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great Tuesday.